Good morning. God is good. And I'm glad to be here to thank you for the job that meant to be here. My name is Harold Pate, and like Brother Lee said, and I'm a member of the First Baptist Church at Sonoma. Been there for 24 years, and been a member of Gideon's for 20 years now. But I'm on Gideon's International is in 197 countries around the world today. And they print these Bibles like this in 103 different languages. So whenever we go into do a Bible blitz around the world, we're doing it in the language of the people that's there. But I'm going to share my story about how I became a Gideon. But that's to give you part of my testimony for that. I also want to say thank God for Christian grandparents, because there's a lot of children out there that wouldn't be in church today if the grandparents didn't bring them. So, and I thank God for those parents, because I had a grandmother in the same way. She was a good Christian woman, and she taught us things when we were young. She kept us after school and during the summer years. And she taught us things like the Ten Commandments, the Golden Rule. She told us Bible stories. But when I was 17 years old, my parents got divorced, split up. They pretty much left me at the house by myself. So I, like any other guy, young man like that, I got out, started running the streets. Next thing you know, I hooked up with people that called themselves a gang, a bunch of young kids. And so we started breaking into places, stealing stuff, and selling it for them. We all thought, now this is an easy way to make a living. But it's one thing, none of the criminals ever plan on. They don't plan on getting caught. And so we all got caught, naturally. We wound up in jail. And while I was sitting there in that jail cell, I had a lot of time to think about those things my grandmother taught me. You know, and it made sense then. But every Sunday morning, we'd have two guys come to the cell block there where we was in, and they would share the gospel. And the gospel they were sharing, it was the same gospel that Jesus they were talking about was a little, sounded like he was different from the one that I listened to as younger. There Jesus told us how he loved us. He would forgive us for everything we had done if we would just ask him to come into our hearts. And so one Sunday morning, when they left, they gave me a Bible to take to my cell. So I started reading this Bible at night and the evenings. And so, and it made sense to everything that was written and everything I thought about the things my grandmother said. So one Wednesday night there in Daugherty County Jail down in Albany, I got on my knees and asked Jesus to come into my heart and forgive me for all those things that I had done wrong. And he did. And then, so while I'm still there, I did, same night, I said a prayer. I said, Lord, if you get me out of this place, I won't be back. I promise you. And so he held up his part of it. I got out of jail, got on probation, and then my friends, you know, kept running around, coming by, you know, I want you to, let's go do this job, let's go do that job. And I said, no, I'm going to school, and I'm going to get me a job. And so, but I'm thankful that, in a way, that I got busted that young, because it taught me this is not the life I want. And I thank God still today for those two Gideons to come in there every Sunday morning, you know, shared the gospel, because I owe them my life and spiritual life. Because the Gideons today, like we're in 197 countries around the world. And the main objective is to share the gospel and to tell men and women, boys and girls about the saving knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Like I said, most of the people, when you ask them about the Gideons or talk to them, the only thing they remember about the Gideons or know about the Gideons is they put the Bibles in the hotel. Well, we do that. It's a small part of our ministry. Now, we do go to the hotels here in Dunedin, every 6 months and check with them to see if they need any Bibles. So we used to go from room to room ourselves with a cart and push the Bibles, but ever since the pandemic, they don't allow us into the rooms. So we give them the replacements they need. But like the new hotel they built over here by Lowe's, they 125 rooms. So we took them 125 Bibles to put in every room. And so I do want to share a couple of testimonies, you know, that we found. And one of them was right here in Noonan, Coweta County, the hotel. And it says on that, it was found, I'm going to read it to you. It says, to whom it may concern, I rented this room with the thought to kill myself. This Bible saved my life She left Proverbs 14:1. And Proverbs 14:1 says, every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish pluck it down with her hands. And she also left a note, said, I am pregnant by another man, even though I have a loving husband. Now I was unfaithful, so foolish, so young. We all have problems. I just called my husband. He knows, and he forgive me. Signed by me, grateful. This book is blessed. And that was from a hotel right here in Noonan. And also, a few years back, I went to a Braves game. The company had paid for it, so I got there a little early because I was working close to the stadium. So I said, I'll get out and walk around. And I got out, and on the other side of the stadium, this guy held a big old sign up, said, Jesus is Lord. I said, let me go check this guy out, see what this is about. So I walk over there, and I asked the guy, I told him, I said, my name's Harold Pate. I work for so-and-so, but I am a member of Gideon's International. He goes, really? Let me tell you my story. He said, I used to own a hotel out in southern Louisiana, and it was out in the middle of nowhere, and the only place I rented it to was people who worked on the oil derricks. They'd rent my rooms because they knew they could get drunk, they could party, and nobody would call the law to them. They could just do pretty much what they wanted. He goes, but in the late 80s, the oil business died down. He said, it got to the point where I was only having about 3, maybe 4 rooms rented a week. It also got to the point where I could not pay the bills for the hotel, so I had to put it up for sale. And he said, there was one stipulation that the new owner made, is that I go through the rooms and the whole area, and I clean up the trash. So I agreed to that. He said, I got a wheelbarrow, picked up everything on the outside first. Then I started going from room to room, picking up the trash, and throwing it in a wheelbarrow, and throwing it in a dumpster. He goes, one afternoon, in one of the rooms, I picked up a Bible like this. He said, I went to throw it in the wheelbarrow. He goes, but my hand would not let go of it. And so he said, I went to throw it again. He goes, but my hand would not let go of that Bible. He said, I didn't know now why I couldn't let go of it then, but I do know now. He goes, the Holy Spirit would not let me get rid of that Bible. He said, I sat down on that bed in that room, started reading that Bible. He said, I read that Bible all night long. He said, before the sun come up next morning, I got down on my knees and asked Jesus to come into my life. He says, I'm not very well educated, but this is what I do. We have a group here in Atlanta. We go to all main events, and we carry these signs out and share our story of the gospel. But also, we just don't only the hotels, but we do the hospitals. And we have actually placed a little over 10,000 of these little Bibles right here. We call the Hospital Testaments. It's got the hospitals, the New Testament, and Psalms in it. But it also is in big writing, so people like me can read it without their glasses on. And many of y'all know when this hospital first opened over here, they didn't want these Bibles in their rooms. And I don't know if you know it or not, but remember, but a lot of the Christian churches and First Baptist Newman was part of it. We actually went to war with that hospital. And it took about 3 or 4 months. They allowed us to come in and put one of these in every room in the hospital. So your church had a part of that. But also nowadays, since the pandemic, these Bibles are wrapped in plastic. And we want everybody that wants to read it, take it and read it. But once you take the plastic off, we ask that you take it with you. Because of the pandemic, the Bibles that are left in the room, they actually throw away. So if you open it up, you're more than welcome. Because my pastor used to say, sometimes you got to be on your back before you can look up. And that's what people don't take life seriously. But if you do, you're more than welcome. We've got plenty of them. But if you take the plastic off, please take it home with you. The only convenience is we did set up the thing with one of the cleaning ladies. Now, if she found one, she would take it back to her work area and take some alcohol and stuff and rub it down and clean it up. Then she gives them back to us, and we send them out on mission trips. But also, our local police, we do give out the Bibles to them. And this is what we give out. The SWAT team just had tracking band tracker training over here at the old fairground this week, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And so what the Gideons were over there every morning as they were signing up for the classes, and we'd had one of these green camo Bibles, and they loved it because it matched their uniforms. But I tell you, I was telling everybody over there, it's so blessed to have a Christian sheriff here, because Lynn and our former sheriff, Mike, both of them are good Christian men, and that's truly a blessing. It really blessed my heart to see how many of these officers accepted the word of God to take with them and put it in their vehicles as they worked. It is a blessing to see, you know, all these good Christian cops, because a lot of times we don't ever hear any good news about what cops do, because people on news don't want to hear that. All you hear is about what the bad ones do. But there is a lot of good Christian cops out there, and we need to pray for them every day. And also the Noonan Fire Department. 3 years ago, we did what we call a Bible Blitz here in Noonan and Southeast Atlanta. And so we went to every fire department in Noonan and in Cowee County, and we passed about, we call it Back in the Blue. We give every one of them a blue Bible like this. And that was a blessing, too, to see a lot of our Christian firemen. But also, we do what we call a military distribution, and we get the chaplain up at the Fort McPherson. We give him these desert camo Bibles like this. Could go with them, and we have a kiosk at Fort McPherson that every man and woman being deployed to go overseas, especially to Afghanistan when it was going on, could reach and get one of these Bibles. We used to give them out hand to hand as they was loaded on the bus to be deployed, but the government stopped us from doing that. But we do have a kiosk there. And on a testimony from one of the guys, a chaplain, when he was over there in Afghanistan, he was sharing with us, he said he was getting on a helicopter, and as he was sat down, two guys with a gurney came running up, said, "Hold that helicopter, stop, whoa." So they placed the body on the helicopter with him. He said this man stepped on a mine, his face was blown off, and with it blowed off his dog tags. We need you to search his clothes to see if you can find his ID. So, much to his dismay, you know, he starts searching through his clothes. He said he reached down in his pocket, side pocket here, and he pulled out a little Bible like this. Because these Bibles, see, they come with what we call a GPS. In the very back of it, it's called God's Plan of Salvation. And there's the Roman road here, and there's a place to sign your name and the date. Well, this is the only thing that this guy had on him. But in the back of it was a place where he had signed his name and date. Because, like I said, there's an old saying, there's no atheist in the foxhole. A lot of these young men and women are going out to fight. They take life seriously. It just blesses my heart to know that this man serving our country had a chance to accept the Lord before he died. And that, we can't do a school distribution here in Cowee County, because it would cost too much money to go to war with the state and local governments. But we do have what we call the fairground distribution. As you know, as you go out to Cowee Fairground in September, we have set up and we give out these orange Bibles to our youth. And we usually pass out on the average about 4,000 of these every year to our youth. And that's another thing that blesses my heart. It makes me just shine to see all of our youth taking these Bibles with them. And one night, it's been about 3 years ago, it was on Saturday night, it was dampened rain, and it was cold, and there was myself and another guy there, and he was getting sick, he said, running a fever. I said, "Well, just go on home, I got this." And so I only had one case of Bibles left, and I was kind of standing on one of the canopies, and just after a while, just sitting there, and starts thinking, "What am I doing here? You know, it is cold and wet." But I stayed there until I distributed the very last Bible. So I packed everything up, and as I was walking out the gate to get to my car, there was three young teenage boys sitting over there under a canopy waiting on a ride. They were reading and sharing the scripture. I just had to hang my head and say, "Lord, forgive me, or you have little faith." Because all we got to do is plant the seed and let God do the watering. So after that, I don't complain to where I am about, you know, where we do a distribution. But also, I want to share a testimony with you. It was a few years back, one of the guys was telling us, they've done a school distribution and a military distribution over in Africa. I forget what the name of the country was, but anyway, they was going back to it was a train depot, and they said to their guide there, this is the last school, this is the last military outfit. He goes, no, there's one more school at the top of that mountain right there. He goes, the only way you can get there is walk, horseback, or dirt bike. And he had a dirt bike. He says, well, they said, well, you tell you what, you go up the mountain and tell those people there that they want a Bible to be back at this depot at 9 o'clock in the morning. So the guy takes off his little dirt bike and goes up there, and then he comes back. Well, about 8:45, the Gideon's in charge because I don't think anybody's coming. We might as well pack up and go. But before they could leave, they started hearing a rumble through the bushes, and they didn't know what it was. Before it was all said and done, there's a little over 600 children come walking through the jungle with three teachers leading them. And I don't know about you, but I don't think I could handle 200 children at one time. I'm doing good to do 5 grandchildren at one time. But so these women had to be special. They led 600 children. They said that we left our village at 4 o'clock this morning. It was like 17 miles. And said, please let these children sit down and rest before you do your distribution. So they all sat down, and they took out their food to eat. And they had two little plastic bags. One was the food that they was eating, but the other one was to put their Bible in when they got one. And so the teacher told the guy about how they got up that early and left. But she also mentioned to him, because in our village, we only have one book for about every 30 students. It's because now each one of these children have a book of their own to learn to read from, and we are going to learn to read from that Bible. You know, I know God's just going to bless that little village because all these children coming up through there, they're going to learn how to read through God's Word. You know, it would be nice if we could do that here, but no, we're not allowed to. But also, we have a prison ministry. We have what we call a prison tier here in Georgia. We even have guys that go to the prison here in Cowee County on Saturday mornings, and some of them go to the county jail. And I actually go to the county jail sometimes in another prison because people say, why do you do that? I said, well, I'm just trying to give back something that was freely given to me. You know, them guys came to jail cell and because of them, you know, I got saved. So it didn't cost me anything because there was one man that had to pay the price. But for us, it's freely given. And I was in Charlotte, North Carolina a few years back and working on the high rise. I'd done new construction all my life. And I wear the cargo pants to work every day. And in this pocket on the right, so it wouldn't get mixed up, I always put a Spanish Bible, just like this one right here, the Nuevo Testamento. And on this side, I would put an English Bible. Well, every morning by 9 o'clock, I could pass out this Spanish Bible because those people don't have their own Bibles. So they were already glad to receive it. But the English Bible I put on my left side, so some days I went all day without passing out a Bible. In English. So it was lunchtime one day, and I was on the third floor. I remember it plain as day. And I said, Lord, send somebody to me that needs this Bible. So an elderly black man come walking up and the third floor and stopped, get his breath. We got up there. And I said, sir, would you like to have one of these Bibles to put in your pocket and take with you? And his words were, finally, man of God. You know, because we don't meet a lot of them on construction sites. They've got to be rough and tough. But he said, I told him, he saw the Gideon emblem. He said, you're with the Gideon, son? I said, yes, I am. So I'm going to tell you my story. Because when I was a young man, I was playing the piano and sang music. But I would travel from Miami all the way up to Jersey with my program. He said, but back one time, about 20 years ago, he said, work got slow. He said, so I started putting cocaine in my car and selling it from Miami all the way to New Jersey. He goes, sure enough, one day I got busted by the dogs, and they sent me to prison. But he had the same story of, so it's amazing how God puts people in your life like that. He had the same story I had. He said, but every Sunday morning, he said, some men would come into the prison. and share the gospel with us. Because they, there's three men, because they never called themselves Baptists, they never called themselves Methodists, they just said they were with the Gideons. And he said, they left me a Bible, and the same thing that happened to you happened to me, because one night I got on my knees and I asked the Lord to come into my heart. And it's funny too that about a year later, this same man, he became a prison minister. They even, the prison is in Charlotte, they even let set up a piano in there so he could play music and sing from the hymnals. So that was a blessing to actually meet somebody like that. And it truly blesses your heart when we hear of stories like that, you know, people getting saved by a Bible, to actually meet one and hear their story. You know, that is truly a blessing. And that's why, like I said, that's why we become part of this ministry. But we also have what we call, it's called a card program. And here in your church, you have some of these cards on display. And what the most one that is used, it's called an in-memory card. And what this does, you know, for $5, you can get one of these hotel Bibles dedicated in the memory of someone. And it'll say on the Bible, in memory. And 5 years ago, my wife passed away. And I made it in lieu of flowers. I had an obituary here in Doonan to dedicate Bibles in her memory, you know, instead of flowers. But the Lord blessed us with that. And there was about 200 Bibles dedicated in her memory. And so each one of these Bibles, like this, they have an average life of about 6 years in the hotel. And each one of them has the potential of reaching 1,200 people. So that's 24,000 people had possibly reached, you know, just from people dedicating Bibles in her memory. And so, but also we have, they're called thinking of you cards that you can send to people praying for you, and you can dedicate a Bible to them for that also. But the one I use other than that is we have an in recognition or in honor card. And it's the same way, you just dedicate Bibles and honor anything. Now I have dedicated Bibles to people in our church that have graduated, and they just don't send me back to thank me for it, because I didn't know what to give you, if you give money or dedicate Bibles. And so, but about a few years ago, and it's been more than a few years ago, but my niece, Lisa Massagill, and her family used to go to this church, and she was buried right over here in the fellowship hall. Well, on the Saturday of her wedding, I had just got back into town, hadn't bought a present, and so my wife, it's her side of the family, I said, look, she was having health and had to get her walk around with a walker. And so I said, I tell you what, let's just donate 20 Bibles in honor of their marriage. She goes, well, that's better than nothing. And so I went ahead and made out the card and everything, put it in the envelope, took it, put it, laid it with the other gifts at the church over here. Didn't think nothing of it, and at least we gave them something. But about 2 weeks later, we get a letter in the mail and saying, thank you, Upper Harold, Lake Beverly, for the dedicating Bibles in honor of our marriage, because that was the greatest gift we received. She goes, to know that somebody could be saved in a hotel somewhere from a Bible dedicated in honor of our marriage, because thank you. You know, and I would have never thought about it as that way, but it is true. You know, these Bibles, Isaiah 55:11 says, my word will go forth and not return unto me void, which means wherever God's word is, something good is going to happen. And also, now these cards are here in the church on display, and they're free to you. So be more than welcome to use them. But on the back of every one of these cards is a different testimony from somewhere around the world. But there is three things that we always need from every church we go into. First is we need your prayers, because we have Gideons out there in not so friendly Christian countries like Saudi Arabia and Iran. We actually have camps in those countries, but they can't, you know, be openly like we are here. And we, 2 months ago, we actually had 90 camps in Ukraine. I don't know how many's there now, but we had 90 camps in Ukraine over there in Ukraine, sharing the gospel and giving out Bibles. But also, we're always looking for some young men or any man to come be a part of our ministry. You know, it's a business or professional man, but that's a lot of leadway in that. But anyway, We need more younger men, and the reason is, every year with the Gideons, we're losing more and we're gaining. Because the average age of a Gideon member here in Georgia is about 67 years old. And so, but most of the young people say, well, I really don't have time to take part of that because I know they're busy with the ball games and at work and everything else going on. But any ministry you want to seriously be a part of, with the church, the Gideons, missions, whatever, if you put your heart and soul into it, God will provide the time. Because he did for me. I was in the construction business, but somehow, some way, he always provided me the time I needed to go distribute Bibles at the fairground, in the police department. He always provided. But part of it, though, is just getting your priorities in order. But also, you know, we need your financial support. Because without churches like First Baptist of Noonan, there wouldn't be a Gideon ministry. Because we can't afford to buy these Bibles every year by ourselves. And so that's why we need the support from churches like this. And we do thank you so much for people just letting us come here and giving our testimony, giving our dedication for the Bibles. And because, you know, if you want a missionary, you don't have to cross the sea to be a missionary. You just got to see the cross. And that's why I said, thank you for letting me be here today. And I just, may God bless you. If you can, I just pray that you would, you know, just help us out financially with this ministry. And with that, I'm going to turn it back over to Brother Lee. Thank you.